Praise the Lord. Thank you. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. What a privilege it is for us to come together in this fashion to worship the Lord. The theme that the Lord has been laying on my heart is pressing on in 21. Yes, we've had a tough year. 2020 was tough. But we can't give up. We can't lay down and play dead. We got to press on in 21. And so on this first Sabbath, it is my privilege to share the word with you. I want to thank you for your prayers on behalf of Pastor Henry. We had a prayer meeting the morning after he was released. There was about 120 of us from one of the unions and the Transamerica, the Inter-America division. We met to pray thanksgiving to God, because oftentimes we ask for things from God and we don't return. So it was just a time to pour out our hearts in gratitude and thanks to the Lord that he's back with his family, his wife and children. His daughter is safe. And I thank you here at Pisgah this morning, a prayer of thanksgiving at the power hour. It was very powerful. I also want to thank again our superintendent this morning for highlighting the importance of TMI, total member involvement. Yes, we've got to do outreach, but the most important part is inreach. And then the next part is upreach. So if we don't reach upwards, there's no inreach and there can be no outreach. So thank you, Elder Harvey. And I want to thank Elder Green. As always, Elder Green inspires the comments. And I know many more wanted to pitch in and say something, but thank you for your studying of God's word, because if we don't study, we won't know and we can't grow. So continue to study the lesson. Yes, we have lost our identity in a lot of ways. We are wandering around in circles trying to figure out who we are. But you know, the important thing is your parents gives you identity. If your parents don't instill it in you, it can take a little while longer for you to get it. So parents, you have a job to do. You're not your children's friends. You are their parent. And so I love that story Sister Frieda shared with us about stewardship. Thank you to Sister Frieda and the stewardship team for bringing to us some very, very inspiring stories each Sabbath. I want to thank the treasury team. Sister Frieda and her daughter goes to the church and to count the money that you put through the box. And we thank the treasury team, Sister Karen, Sister Brescia, and all of you working together. I think Sister Diane is in on that too. So thank you for all you do in helping us to remain faithful. God is good. I was so sad this week. There's a group of young men. They are fit and strong and could work. And they are at a refugee camp. And for some reason, somebody set the buildings alight. At least two of the buildings were lit. This is in Europe. They're trying to get to Europe where they could work. Big, strong men coming up to find work in Europe, because they have a lot. Just like we have a lot here in America. And our neighbors to the south, the young men are trying to always come to find work, and they're not lazy. They're not looking for a handout. They're looking for a hand up. And so they have to cross the border, and the border wall is being built, and all of that is just keeping them out of the opportunities. But these young men, they the camp they were in for a long time now, because the governments are not willing to let them come in. They left them there in this refugee camp, and they burnt the building and they put them on a bus to try to send them someplace, but eventually they brought them back. And my heart was just torn to see how there's so much suffering in our world that God will come quickly and put an end to it. So let us hasten to prepare, to be ready so that Jesus can come and take us home. And I think that's what he's doing. He's doing that just right now through the trials that we go through. So let us bow our heads as we press on. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of coming into your presence. We pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through me. May the words that I share be from you. You've prepared me all week, and here I am, empty vessels. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words from my lips go to the ears of your people, and that they will be inspired to make changes and to do the things that you would have us do as we press on in 21. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Elder Sammy Aaron, Elder Cliff. The scripture reading is actually John, 3 John, verse 2 through 4. But somehow I sent the wrong, I put 3 John 3, and it's not what it, it's not, there's not a third chapter. And so thank you, Carlos, for correcting that for us this morning. I want to read the little passage here. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy, he says in verse 4, than to hear that my children walk in truth. Hallelujah. And so as we're pressing on into 21, we've left 20 behind, but alas, some of the issues and the baggage that we had in 20 is actually coming with us into 21. And so this morning, I'm going to challenge us. I'm going to challenge us, brothers and sisters, with the title of my sermon, Resolve To. And then there's a blank and you fill in it, fill whatever it is. But I'm going to give you some suggestions this morning from the Word of God and through just thinking through this process. We often make resolutions, but they last maybe 6 weeks. We resolve, we're going to go to the gym, and you take out a gym membership, you get new gym clothes for the holiday, and you're ready, and it lasts 6 weeks, and then you quit. But we got to resolve in 21 to do better, amen? And so it's not about the quantity of the resolution, it's about the quality and making it so that it's manageable. So here goes. In order for us to do better, we've got to make changes. Forgiveness is unconditional. That is God. He forgives us unconditionally. Reconciliation is conditioned on the changed behavior of the one who has done the wrong. And that's us. We've wounded Christ by the life we've lived in 20. And in order for us to forgive, to receive reconciliation, we have to make the necessary changes in order to bring about reconciliation. So remember this, God forgives us unconditionally. That's what he did. He came on the cross, he died for us, he forgave us. But then it's up to us. We have done the wrong. We have done the sin. It is for us to make the change. And so I want us to resolve to bring harmony into our homes in 21. That's very important. If our homes are not harmonious, there cannot be reconciliation. And so where discord reigns, the servant of the Lord says, where discord reigns supreme, let fathers and mothers cease all fault finding and murmuring. Let them educate their children to speak pleasant words, words that bring sunshine and joy. Amen. Shall we not now enter into the home school as Christ students, bring practical godliness into the home? Then see if the wrongs you spoke, that you speak, do not cause joy. See if the words you speak do not cause joy. So when we are harsh and dictatorial in our homes, it transmits to our children. And so resolve to bring harmony into your home in 2021. Resolve to make Christ's teaching your guide in 2021. Not the opinions of pundits and those you see on television, but let Christ's word and his teaching be your guide. His sympathies embrace the world. Never can there be a circumstance of life or a crisis in human experience where he has not been appreciated in his teaching and for which its principles have not a lesson. So every situation that we find in life, there is a word to counteract that. And that's in his word when we search it. The Prince of Teachers, his words will be found a guide to his co-workers till the end of time. That's in Education, page 81. So no situation that you find or you come up against that there isn't something in it that will help you to cope. His instruction was direct. His illustrations were so appropriate. His words so sympathetic and cheerful. And so that's what Jesus wants for us in our homes. He who has paid the infinite price to redeem us, he reads with unerring accuracy and knows just how to deal with every one of us. And in dealing with us, he manifests the same principles that are manifested in the natural world. But Satan, on the other hand, is constantly seeking to produce effects by violent means. Jesus found access to the minds by the pathway of the most familiar association. He disturbed as little as possible their accustomed train of thought by abrupt actions or prescribed rules. He honored man with his confidence and thus placed him on his honor. He introduced all truths in a new and precious light. And that's the kind of God we are. I listened to Brother Jay last night, and he was sharing how the first 40 years of his life, he was preparing for the last 10. He's going to be 50 this year. So some of the mistakes we make in the first part of our lives is preparing us. And God is so patient. He waits 40 years before we get it. And he's so unhurried, but we're so impatient. We want our children to get it now. And if they don't get it, we get mad. No. Be patient. And so we've got to make the spiritual renewal a priority in our lives. But there are some practical things that we must consider. And so, as I shared with you, make God's word priority. Amen. Put that as number one in your first resolution. Not losing weight or achieving goals in your job or your career, but as the scripture says, put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all other things will be added to us. So after we've done that, here are some practical things that I want you to consider as you put God first. These other things will come as secondary. Now, yesterday, the United States surpassed the 20 million mark, COVID-19 cases on Friday afternoon, over 20 million, 20,880,000 to be accurate. Just a few hours after we welcomed 2021, December was the deadliest month in the pandemic for the United States. Over 77,500 cases occurred in just December alone. And the number stands, and is changing by the hour, 346,000 COVID deaths have occurred already. And here we are, as we listen to the comments in Sabbath school, it is because of our arrogance as a nation. We think this thing, we can just lick this because we're so smart. We have scientists who can make vaccines, and we can just go as we please, do as we please. We go in the stores, where they go to the bars, the restaurants, they have parties on the beach, and it's not going to affect us because we are Americans. But here we are, almost 350,000 deaths. My heart was sad yesterday when my daughter called and told us that James Roddy died on Thursday of COVID-19. James Roddy means a lot to my wife and I and our daughter, because when we came to Oakwood, we actually stayed in Roddy's trailer. Those of you who went to Oakwood would know it. Roddy's trailer, we were in number 13. And the school, we had sent money for our accommodation, but they didn't pay it any mind. And so when we arrived in Huntsville, hot, it was midsummer. It was so hot, we had never experienced anything like Alabama heat. And we had to walk. We didn't have a car. We had to walk with our little baby back and forth from Roddy's trailers to the school for classes. And we did that for a while until we were homeless, actually, for a little bit. And the Lord impressed my wife to go see Calvin Rock, who was the president at the time. My wife is bold like that. I'm not as bold as she is. But she went there, she appealed to him. She said, you know, my husband keeps good records, and he sent the money for a deposit for student housing, married student housing. And lo and behold, we're living in Roddy's trailers in the heat, in the summer heat. When you live in a trailer, that thing gets hot during the summer, especially in Alabama. And we got this little baby. She's just a little toddler right there. But thank the Lord, it wasn't long after we found a little job. We worked with a Harris Home for Children, and we had a place to stay during the week. But when we were off on the weekends, we had to stay in our little car. Can you believe that? So that's how we were. And so my wife got frustrated. She said, well, I got to go see Calvin. And yes, Calvin got on the horn. He found us marriage, renovated it. We have the newest marriage student apartment on campus. It was all renovated new. So thank God, it's provision. So sometimes you go through hardships and it's for a purpose, but that's beside the point. I'm just saying we got to stick with it. But here, Brother Roddy is gone. His wife has COVID. 2020 was a difficult year for all of us. In January of 2020, January 5th to be exact, I eulogized Susanna Robin. And then a week later, I had to go to New York to eulogize my sister. She was a young woman in her early 60s, gone, worked in the hospitals. But then when she went to the hospital, they didn't care for her like they should have. And so she stayed on the gurney for so long in the waiting room. When she got upstairs, it was too late. She had a clot and it took her out. And then last week, on December 30th, we laid to rest Annie Estelle Fields. She was 91, that cheerful little lady who comes with Sister Gillis, her mother, dead at 91. And so here we are. We've been through so much during 2020. And so as we press on, let's resolve to practice wellness and self-care in 21. You see, we live in the age of social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. And so too many of us are all too ready to bring our private thoughts out in public. And self-care has become synonymous with indulgences like massages, facials, boutique, workout classes, and lavish vacations. We want the trappings of success. That all sounds great if you have a lot of disposable income. But for most of us, spending money on self-care during this COVID pandemic just isn't realistic. We're just trying to get by with the basics, food and roof and a vehicle to get to the grocery store. With the historic levels of unemployment, homelessness will soon reach unheard of levels. There are homeless people. People can't afford their rent. They have to vacate. And so although the government says put a moratorium on the evictions, but alas, there are many people. We don't see that part of society. They're unseen, but it's a real thing in this country. The whole concept of self-care has really strayed from the original intent. Spending an excessive amount of money we don't have in the name of self-care can actually be distressing and destructive and work against our mental and our emotional well-being. And so some of the best ways to practice self-care are basically free. And so here are some suggestions that you may wanna practice as you resolve, make your resolution for 2021. So resolve to spend more time outside in 21. Take a walk around the block. Walk outside in the grass, barefoot. Hike or ride the trail. Melissa will protect you if you go on the trails. She's always out there. I don't know if they have the trails open now. It's probably too cold. Let the sun shine on your face first thing in the morning, even in the winter. Open that window shade. Open the door. As soon as my wife gets out of bed, she comes down, she opens the front and the back door. And that morning sun, there's a little seat we have by the front window, the front door, and we have that little glass. We took the screen out and we let the sun shine. It's a beautiful place to sit and to have a cup of postum or just to relax and read. Amen? So open the window. Get outside away from your devices. Calm your nervous system from the negative effects of everyday stressors. So the first thing is get outside more often. Walk outside in the neighborhood. Now, here's another resolve that you can make. Resolve to clean and organize your living space in 21. Most of us have too much stuff. My wife complains that she wants me to declutter the shed. And that's true. I'm a pack rat and she's a throwaway person. So when our homes and our workspaces are in a mess, it will take a toll on our mental health and our state of mind, making us feel more stressed, anxious, and overwhelmed. You see, a messy or disorganized living space can activate your nervous system and impact your mental health and your wellness. We're talking about self-care in 21. Taking the time to clean up your space can be an act of self-care and self-love. Nothing wrong with loving yourself. It's healing rather than a chore you don't want to do. Don't keep putting it off. Do it while you have time at home. And I've started. I decluttered my section of the attic. You know, you have stuff you think, oh man, I'm going to use this. So I put it in the attic. And then after a while, you can't get up in the attic because the shed is already full. So we decided I'm going to just declutter the attic and take it right away. Good stuff that, you know, they could use at the Goodwill or the Salvation Army. And that's a good thing to do. Don't just throw it away in the dumpster. Give it, somebody can use it. Those businesses are doing real well. Whenever you go to the thrift stores, they're always full. People are looking for secondhand stuff and good stuff, cheap. And then here's another resolution that you may want to make. Reduce the amount of time you spend on social media in 21. Am I touching somebody's nerve? You see, mindlessly scrolling through your social media for hours on end is not only time wasted, but it is also linked to lower self-esteem, sleep issues, and increased fear of missing out. Did you know that FOMO is a real condition? FOMO is anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere. It's often aroused by post. Somebody sends you a post and you see it on social media and you feel like, oh, I'm missing out on this piece of news. So you stay on your phone and you keep scrolling through trying to find out what's going on. FOMO, fear of missing out. Social media and the internet is great. It's a great resource to connect us to and one another and to cultivate a support and a community, but it can also be a place of overconsumption, distraction to what we really need in our lives. You see, the iPhone, I have an iPhone and it tells me how many hours I've been on the phone during the week. And sometimes I'm trying to cut back. So you can monitor your social media usage and help you cut back. So don't just mindlessly spend time on Facebook looking out about how other people are doing and say imagining how your classmates are doing and what's going on in their life. No, there's a better way to spend your time. You don't need to know everything what's going on 24/7 in this world. And so it may be useful for you to disable push notifications. They have that on your phone. You know, they keep sending you every time the phone dings, you jump, just like Pavlov's dog. Or you could do hide some apps in a folder, turn off notification, keep your phone on silent, check for missed calls or notifications when you are free. The caller can always leave a message and receive a return call. Don't carry your phone around with you all day. It's not your hand. It's not an extension of your hand, or you have it on your hip, or some people, they stick it in their pocket, their back pocket, they're worried about the 5G. All of that is going into your body. So that's another resolution you can make. Resolve to do some journaling in 21. You see, journaling can be a therapeutic practice that helps you understand your thought patterns, you can work through difficult emotional issues, you can reflect on certain events, or cultivate more gratitude in your everyday life. Journaling helps us externalize what's going on the insides of our minds. And it helps us to look at our thoughts more objectively. Put it down on paper so that it stops swirling around in your mind. And it's eating you out. You can make another resolution. Resolve to get better quality sleep in 21. Making an effort to get the recommended 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep can make a difference when it comes to your overall well-being. Getting a good night's sleep on a consistent basis offers benefits such as better immune function, improved mood, and lower anxiety. You see, self-care is practicing regularity in sleep. If you can get good sleep, that's the best thing that you can ever do. That's the best medicine, because we need to sleep. After a good night's sleep, you're refreshed for the next day. And so creating a routine to help you wind down, calm your mind and your body, relax and go to sleep. Don't fall asleep looking at the big or the small screen. Amen? Resolve to check in with yourself regularly throughout the day in 21. Pause to assess how hungry or how full you are. How are your emotions? How stressed? Be attentive to your body for areas of tightness. Stress causes the muscles to tighten and restrict blood flow. The blood, the life of the body is in the blood. Stress causes that to tighten and to restrict the blood flow. So simply asking yourself the question, how am I doing? Checking with yourself is a gentle reminder to take care of yourself. Amen? Because caring for yourself is an act of worship. Resolve to pray more, read more, share more, meditate on God's word in 21. You see, praying and reading God's word is one of the best ways to restore and reconnect your mind and body. We're always plugged into this busy life. And you know, this is something that those who work in electronics, they know. Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes. Have you ever had your internet go funny on you at home? All you got to do is to unplug it and wait a while. We don't even turn off our cell phones, and we wonder why sometimes it don't seem like it wants to work. Turn it off. We got the cell phone on 24/7. So there is value in unplugging for a few minutes. Or in that case, for us, a few hours. We need 7 to 8 hours of unplugged time. So there's value in giving ourselves time and space to shift from doing. We're always doing something to being. That's what God wants from us, to be with Him. Being in the presence of God allows us to reconnect with the source and recharge our mind and our body. That's what sabbaticals are. In academia, when the professors have spent 7 years, they get a month or so off so that they can And some of them save the time up so that they can go on a long sabbatical. They can write a book, prepare to write a book or do something. That's why we get a sabbatical every week. God knows that we need the sabbatical. And because of that, Psalm 46, 10 and 11 says, be still. Oh, can we be still? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Silence and listening for the Holy Spirit is the best option that doesn't cost a dime. All it costs is our time. And so, brothers and sisters, resolve to move your body more in 21. It might be walking, exercising in your space, or participating in a community exercise class. However, if that still doesn't fit in your budget, there may be free videos on YouTube. You can exercise at home. Resolve to connect with loved ones offline. I hate the group texting. I have family members who, they don't talk to you unless they're talking to you on a group text. Texting and email are convenient forms of communication, but they don't satisfy our deep need for connecting in the way most people need and intend. We used to drop by each other's homes. When I lived in the country, you had relatives who drove hours. They didn't have a phone to call to say they were coming. They just showed up because they know you can't go very far. You're gonna be at home. Either you're working in the field or you're at home getting ready for bed. And so they would show up without any phone call. You show up on somebody's door, they wonder if you're crazy. I went to take, we made a little fruit baskets for our neighbors here in Delano Avenue. And we got them earlier, but there was a family that had gone away. And so I took the fruit basket yesterday. The man was so hostile. I didn't see him. I went to the front door and knocked, and I heard this voice. I thought it was from the inside. He's wondering who this is. So then I saw he came around the side door and I looked at his face. He couldn't recognize me in the mask. And I wanted to make him feel comfortable, but he was very hostile, wondering who I was. I said, I'm your neighbor that my wife and I, we walk by here every morning, not every morning, but most mornings. And we always greet them and so forth. And then after a while, he relaxed. Because he was worried, he came out with his mask on. He was mad. Who's knocking on my door? And so we developed the telephone. So all we do now is call each other. Then came texting and Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And so we don't visit or talk to each other anymore. We post messages. Call a friend. Take a walk with a colleague at lunchtime when we get back to work. Cook dinner, then clean up after you with your spouse. Connecting with others we care for helps to shift us out of our thoughts, regulates our nervous system, and elevates our mood. We are social beings, brothers and sisters. So this year, resolve to invest time in a hobby in 21. You see, the demands of work, family, and other obligations take up most of our time and energy, leaving little time for activities we truly enjoy. Take time for your hobbies, even when we have a lot on our plate. Take time for activities that are joy-filled and nurturing. Take time each week to shut off your electronics and engage in a hobby that rejuvenates your spirit. Play music, learn to play an instrument, write in your journal, take a class. While electronics deplete us, these activities nurtures us. So resolve to take deeper breaths in 21. Amen. Anybody ever told you that? You're not breathing deep enough? You see, during high stress periods, we may go hours or even a whole day without taking a full grounding breath. Be intentional about it. That is so good. Take a few deep breaths first thing in the morning and throughout the day, stretch before you get out of bed. It helps to recenter and connect more in the present moment. take 3 deep breaths every time you go to the bathroom or wash your hands. It's easy, it's free. It makes a huge difference in our daily stress and anxiety-ridden society. So resolve to take deep breaths. Resolve to volunteer your time in 21. I thank God for the community service department. Sister Dorsey made us these nice little gifts, and you all drove by the church to receive the thank yous, and that's a blessing. I thank God for those young people who are helping out in packing the car trunks, and the leaders that work with Sister Dorsey. She has been protected by God, going to all the stores doing shopping during COVID. Choose your cause, whatever it may be. Engaging in altruistic acts and seeing your actions make a difference and a direct positive impact in the lives of others is rewarding. It's a way to shift your mood and feel part of something bigger than yourselves. This can help put our problems in context, because when I saw those guys, I say, thank you, Lord, that I had my hardships early on in life. Thank the Lord, because I don't know if I could cope now. So thank the Lord we were homeless earlier on in our lives. Now we can appreciate and we can count our blessings and say, thank you, Lord. So let's look at, let's give ourselves a break from the stressors of life as we put our problems into context. Resolve to eat healthy, more fruit and vegetables. In 21, we didn't give our neighbors, we gave them fruit because we want them to know that fruit is good. You give them more stuff. And one lady, she was so excited we brought fruit. She went and searched her cupboard and she brought a little gift that she had, because, you know, some people can't receive anything. If you give them something, they got to give you something. And so her poor husband showed up on our doorstep with a gift wrapped up. And boy, I tell you, he looked on his face, he looked sheepish. Because we are, if we don't learn how to receive, we can't give. Because when we give, we're looking for something back. So resolve to eat healthy. More fruits and veggies in 21. Resolve to put more of your grocery budget towards veggies and less towards quick, ultra-processed snack food full of sugar. That's our problem as a people. We are diabetic and we have high blood and all that stuff because we are liking quick food. We don't want to take the time to plan. Prepare your vegetables at the beginning of the week and store them in your refrigerator. When you need a meal, it's ready. Thank God for a wife, but every time I need to eat at 4 o'clock, all I got to do is to go to the fridge, and I love leftovers. Plan what to eat ahead of time. Most of us are not consuming enough whole foods, which keep us nice and full because of prolonged satisfaction from the fiber. Vegetables nourish our physical bodies at the cellular level with fiber, minerals, vitamins, and antioxidants. And so resolve to eat healthy. Resolve to cuddle more with the one you love. You know that cuddling is so beautiful. So snuggle up next to your husband and your wife, your child, your parents. Cuddling releases oxytocin, a feel-good hormone that also helps with reducing stress. Pets make great cuddle buddies. Plus, spending time with our furry friends has been shown to alleviate anxiety, depression, feelings of loneliness. You see, service animals are medically necessary companions for service members or anyone who suffered from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. If you don't have access to a pet, visit the adoption society. They have animal shelters who at the local animal shelter, you can go, you can get a little dog if you live by yourself. I know somebody who got a little dog. No, it's a big dog. And because he lives by himself, and it helps him. He goes take the dog for a walk. He has to, when he comes home from work, the animal wants to jump up on him and he wants cuddling and hugging. That's healthy. And so The next suggestion is resolve to say no more often in 21. We often think of self-care as doing something extra for ourselves on top of our normal day-to-day activities. Self-care can also be about what you choose not to do. One way is to give a sincere and healthy no. Start setting boundaries with the people in your life. Here's a little book that I have here. This is my wife's, actually. It's a pocket-sized book. It says, in the miniature edition, boundaries. When to say yes, when to say no. Take control of your life. Too many of us are people pleasers, and we spend a lot of our time doing things out of feelings of guilt and obligation, causing us to feel energetically drained and lacking the ability to focus on ourselves and what we truly need or want. Have you heard of compassion fatigue? A lot of our colleagues, my colleagues in ministry, are suffering this. There's always somebody who needs to be prayed for. There's always somebody who needs to be called, somebody who needs to have a visit. But you cannot fulfill all of this by yourself. And I thank God for my team of elders who call you, who keep tabs of those who have gone in the hospital. Thank God. And we meet on Tuesdays and we pray for you. And so we don't have to broadcast your business in the divine hour. We pray in general, but in specifics when we, the elders, come together to pray for you. Amen? And so we've got to resolve to take care of ourselves. Self-compassion in 21. Don't say yes to everything. You've got to question yourself. Should I do that or should I not? You can't be the answer to everybody's problems. There's no one person in the world who can solve everybody's problems. And so you've got to practice self-compassion. All the face masks, the manicures and the massages, the herbal teas and the supplements that we take, all the diet and exercise in the world cannot undo the damage that a harsh inner voice, self-criticizing, judging, and berating yourself all day long does. You gotta be comfortable in your skin, who you are. If you don't know where to begin with self-compassion, I recommend the book, Mind, Character, and Personality by Ellen G. White. Admit that I'm struggling. Admit that I'm in pain. Admit that I'm angry. I am sad. I am lonely. I am frustrated. I'm anxious. I'm feeling out of the flow today. When you admit to how you're feeling, you will be able to own it and stop projecting your problems onto others. Did you hear me? We project our problems onto our spouses, onto our children. Be gentle and flexible with yourself. Be kind to yourself. You have permission to take a break from problem solving for a moment. Give it to Jesus. So resolve to have peace in 21. His tender compassion fell with a touch of healing upon weary and troubled hearts, even amid the turbulence of angry enemies. The beauty of his countenance, the loveliness of his character, above all the love expressed in look and tone, drew to him all who were hardened in unbelief. Had it not been for the sweet, sympathetic spirit that shone in every look and word, he would not have attracted the large congregations that he did. And so they wanted to follow Jesus. They hung on his every word. But he had to take time off. He had to come aside. Even the Son of God had to come aside and rest a while. And so the afflicted ones who came to him felt that he linked his interests with theirs as a faithful and tender friend. And they desired to know more of the truths that he taught. Heaven was brought near. They long to abide, hallelujah, in his presence, that the comfort of his love might be with them continually. Hallelujah. So resolve to live harmoniously in 21. In his life, Jesus of Nazareth differed from all other men. His entire life was characterized by disinterested benevolence and the beauty of holiness. In his bosom existed the purest love, free from every taint of selfishness and sin. He is the only true model of goodness and perfection. From the beginning of his ministry, men began more clearly to comprehend the character of God. You see, when Jesus did something for you, he wasn't expecting something in return. When we're kind to each other, we expect, oh, what is he going to do for me? Upon the time of Christ's first advent, men worshiped cruel, despotic gods. Up to the time of Christ's first advent, men worshiped cruel, despotic gods. Even the Jewish mind was reached through fear and not love. Christ's mission on the earth was to reveal to men that God was not a despot, but a heavenly Father, full of love and mercy for his children. Brothers and sisters, God is merciful. He's patient with us. Yes, he is. And thank God for the testimony of Brother Jay that it took him 40 years to prepare for the last 10 years of his life. Some of us, we're still struggling with stuff that we've brought in from our family of origin. And we're struggling because we haven't let go of the garbage and embraced the resolution of letting God into our lives. So resolve to develop warmth and sunniness in our characters in 21. Don't walk around sour and mad with the world. There are many who have an erroneous idea of the life and character of Christ. They think that he was stern, severe, and joyless. In many cases, the whole religious experience is colored by the gloomy views. He saw men as they might be, transfigured by his grace in the beauty of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Looking unto them with hope, inspired hope. Meeting them with confidence, inspired trust. Revealing in himself man's true ideal. He awakened for its attainment, both desire and faith. And so, brothers and sisters, in his presence, souls despised and fallen realized that they still were men and they longed to prove themselves worthy of his regard. In many a heart that seemed dead to all things holy were awakened a new impulse. Too many, a despairing one that opened the possibility. To many, a despairing one, there opened the possibility of new life. Let me read that again. To many, a despairing one, there opened the possibility of new life. That's in Education, page 80. And so, brothers and sisters, it's never too late. Today, this first Sabbath of 2021, we can make some resolutions. It is often said that Jesus wept, but he was never known to smile. Our Savior was indeed a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, for he opened his heart to all the woes of men. He knows what you're going through. Through his life, was self-denying and shadowed with pain and care. His spirit was not crushed. Through his life, he experienced pain, but his spirit was not cast down. His countenance did not wear an expression of grief and repining, but ever one of peaceful serenity. And wherever he went, he carried rest and peace, joy and gladness on his countenance. So no matter what you're going through, this is Steps to Christ, page 120. We can have a cheerful spirit even under difficult circumstance. So Christ carried out in his life his own divine teaching. We can't say we're Seventh-day Adventists, we're people of the book, and we're looking forward to the second coming of Christ. We're vegetarians and we walk around sour. We keep the Sabbath and we're stressed. Christ carried in his life his own divine teaching. So before you even talk, before you even thrust a track at somebody, they are looking at you. We gotta fix what's broken in our lives before we can be true witnesses. His zeal never led him to become passionate. He manifested consistency without obstinacy or stubbornness, benevolence without weakness, tenderness and sympathy without sentimentalism. He was highly social, yet he possessed a reserved dignity that did not encourage undue familiarity. His temperance never led to bigotry or austerity. He was not conformed to this world, yet he was not indifferent to the wants of the least among men. He was awake to the needs of all. The young people would say Jesus was woke. And so he lays aside his robe, his royalty. He lays aside his royal crown. He lays off his high command. He steps down from the throne of his glory as high commander of all heaven and earth. And he clothes his divinity in humanity that humanity might touch humanity. It is us who touch others' lives. God working through you and me. That is what he came here for. He didn't send the angels to do the community service work. He used Elder Johnson, Carlos, and Ginny, and the boys to help out Sister Dorsey and others. And you brought food and you brought eggs and whatever you brought to help the community. God touches humanity through us, through humanity. He came right down to our earth to take upon himself the nature of man, to pass through all the trials, all the afflictions and temptations wherewith man should be beset. And here he wrestled with these temptations, passing over the ground where Adam fell, that he might redeem the disgraceful failure of fallen Adam. In human nature, as our substitute, as our surety, he laid hold upon the very hope that is our privilege to take hold of, that is infinite power. And so through this, our Savior overcame the temptations of the enemy and obtained the victory that no one of his family need to stumble in the road. Not one of his family needs to stumble in the road that leads to everlasting life, because he has traversed it before for us. He knows every obstruction. He knows every difficulty that every soul upon the face of the earth must meet. He knows this, and therefore, at his baptism, when he offered up his petition to heaven, that prayer cleaved directly through the hellish shadow of Satan that is thrown on our path, and faith entered into the in that within the veil. Hebrews 6, verse 19. So when we submit ourselves to Christ, brothers and sisters, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged in his will. The mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live in him. We live his life. That is what it means to be clothed with his righteousness. Not a nice suit or a robe, but it is his character, the life that we live. And so there are things that we must resolve to break off and things we must embrace in order to live that life. Then as the Lord looks upon us, he sees not the fig leaf garment, not the nakedness and deformity of sin, but his own robe of righteousness, which is perfect obedience, hallelujah, to the law of Jehovah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, I thank God for this very, very important resolve that we can make. We can take something from this list. We can begin to practice it and ask God to give us victory to stop the mess that we've been carrying with us all these years. Some of us, we're all in our 60s and 70s, and we've still got stuff we're laboring with. So help us, Lord. Help us today. Revive us again. Fill each heart with your love. made Saul be replenished with grace from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Revive us again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.